Well, welcome today. I was giving some reflection on this. You know, I'm not really used to preaching Palm Sunday sermons because here at Pathways, we almost always have an Easter musical that we present on Palm Sunday. And as we have recently passed that one-year anniversary of the COVID shutdown, I sadly note that for the second year in a row, we will miss out on that great tradition of Easter musicals. We miss all of our members who are unable to attend or hesitant about attending physically during the COVID time. We certainly understand all of that. We miss you all. But I do want to give a special shout out today to our choir members, all of our instrumentalists, our accompanists, all those folks, because I know their heart, their passion for that. And it's not by choice, casual, that they are not doing that for us this year, right? And we look forward, amen, to next year. You know, the Jewish people have a saying, next year in Jerusalem. Well, I'm saying next year at Pathways, I am looking forward to another Palm Sunday musical. In the meantime, our blessings to those folks. Let's just give them a little wave. Some of them are sitting at home today thinking, oh, I heard that because he lives, and I wish I could be there singing an Easter musical today. So we hope that we'll get to see many of you next week. Some of you who've been here every week may have noticed we have redone the numbering system around the room. We have already begun making provision because we've had more people call and say, really, can I come Easter without a reservation, and can I still expect that there'll be enough room for spacing? So again, I'll tell you, we have a sanctuary that seats almost 1,000 people. So we are allowed to have a whole lot of folks in here. We're not going to have that many, okay? I don't expect it to be a ton more than what we have today. We have a nice crowd today. Thank you all for being with us. But we hope that if you have been vaccinated, or if you are one of those people, like many of us have been for months, wearing masks, taking all the precautions, you want to come, you can rest assured we'll not be passing plates. We won't be taking communion by passing plates around. We'll be picking up a cup on the way in. It will have your bread and your juice. You will tear off the tops, and you'll take those in your seats. So we'll be doing everything possible to adhere to the guidelines that the CDC has suggested for us to follow. So we'll be doing all that, but we hope that you will join with us next Sunday for a great Easter service. And in the meantime, today on Palm Sunday, we want to express again our appreciation for the musicians from IBBW who bless us from time to time. We're really glad you guys made time today. I know that Gero and Gideone played a gig last night in Boston. They arrived back in Washington at 7 a.m., hit the showers, and came to church to play. So, and still managed to hit most of the right notes as far as I could tell. Well done. Thank you, brothers. We appreciate you all so much. And sisters. There were a great, great mix up there on the stage. Muito obrigado to all of you. Now, we are nearing the end of our series called The Way. This is The Way. We've been studying the book of Deuteronomy. We, in particular, have been aware that the book of Deuteronomy is a review. Moses uses the time to review with all the people of Israel. As Israel is camped on the outside bank of the River Jordan, as it were, they're in a space in between the wandering in the wilderness that we've all heard about for 40 years, right? And crossing the river into the promised land. They're still stuck on the wilderness side of the river. They've been waiting and listening, what we've been trying to do, learning about the way of God. And we have rediscovered the importance of remembering in order to inspire our imagination as Christ followers in the 21st century. We have affirmed that as believers in Jesus Christ, yes, we are saved by grace, but we also recognize that a claim of faith without a transformed life leads to emptiness and doubt. Salvation through faith in Jesus Christ leads to life transformation that includes walking in the pathways that God has established for his people. So we have looked at the pathways of worship and rest and relationships and generosity and discernment and assurance, just to name a few. Today we're going to look at one of the final or one of the closing invitations for living through the transition period from what has been to what will be. This is the way of sacrifice. It's a bit ironic, isn't it? I mean, that we would be talking about the way of sacrifice from Deuteronomy on Palm Sunday, which as believers is the day that we remember what we call the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Matthew chapter 21, if you want to go back and look at it later, all the scriptures that we read in our responsive reading this morning as the Gospels tell the story. It is to the untrained eye, to one who is unknowing of the full story of Jesus, the Lamb of God, the suffering servant. If you're not aware of all that, if you're just looking at the development of Jesus as a religious leader, as a casual observer of the life of Christ, you might look at the triumphal entry and say, that's really triumphant. It's about victory. Where is the sacrifice, the way of sacrifice? What has that got to do with a triumphal entry? Well, therein lies the tale, as they say. The sacrifice lays in the painful week ahead with a very sad ending. Because Holy Week ends on Saturday. Oh yeah, we know that Sunday's coming. We know what comes next. But Holy Week is a painful week that closes on a sad note. And that makes it appropriate because, you know, Deuteronomy, as we come to the end of it, Deuteronomy ends sadly. It's almost tragic. It's like it's almost made for one of those movies that just kind of leaves you walking, oh, right? I mean, after all, we call this the Torah, right? The first five books of the Bible. Wow. I mean, Torah. Well, you know, here's the deal. You come to the end of the Torah, which is all about God's people heading toward the promised land. You know where they are at the end of the Torah? They are not in the promised land. They're still outside. So it's very interesting that this Bible section, which the entire thrust is we're going to get Israel into the promised land, but Deuteronomy ends, there's still the hope of entering the land, but the promise has not been fulfilled. That is the situation we find ourselves at the end of Deuteronomy. And this is one of those sermons today where we're not looking at it verse by verse. I'm looking at chapters 31 through 34. It tells the whole deal of the end run of Deuteronomy. So you'll need to go back and look at that, just like you'll want to go back and look at Matthew and the other Gospels for the story of the triumphal entry. But what's interesting is that as Deuteronomy ends with the hope of entering the land, but the promise not yet fulfilled, it's like a gospel Holy Week that ends after the crucifixion and the burial, but not yet quite to the resurrection. Interesting timing that God has us in, bringing us to this place, to this day. And so here's something I want you all to understand today when we talk about the way of sacrifice. Deuteronomy and the gospel are painfully realistic about sacrifice. And the words are painful and realistic. You think about it. You add to the people of Israel who have failed to enter the promised land. That's where we are at the end of Deuteronomy. And in addition to that, the great leader who has sacrificed and guided God's people for 40 years from the exit from Egypt through the immense pressures of the wilderness, he now dies without entering the promised land. Honestly, if I'm writing the book, that seems like a really harsh ending. Disappointing. Sad. It's harsh. It's difficult. It's hard for the characters who are living it, yes. It's also hard just to read it and think about this is the tradition that we are walking in. We, like they, have times in our lives where we are asked to wait in a transition time. It's somewhat like the feeling many of us have had during COVID. So you wait and you wait and you try to be smart and you try to learn and you're ready to have the promise fulfilled. See, but instead of a triumphal entry into the promised land that all the Israelites are ready for, the Torah draws to a close with the nation of Israel still seated on the outside banks of the Jordan, grieving the death of the greatest prophet and leader in their history. You know what that says to me? That says Deuteronomy is an incredibly honest book. Because this is something that many of us would have to say. It reflects our own experiences in life. For a lot of us, not every aspect of our lives ends up with a happy little bow and a nice little song playing at the end of a romantic comedy movie, and out the door we all go feeling good and in love. And it's no, that sometimes that happens. A lot of times it doesn't. Life is not like a sitcom. I'll be honest, my wife and I, no matter what we watch at night, we try to catch a sitcom before we go to bed. Because, you know, we just want something light. Here's what I know. I can enjoy, I can laugh, I like that. But you don't wrap up a problem in 30 minutes. I got problems I've been wrestling with for 6 months, 6 years, and 6 decades. And that's the truth of my life. And I think that's true for a lot of us. Deuteronomy presents us with the harsh realities of life and the fact that we live in a lot of transition times that don't always have happy, easy endings. Most of us, right? You live long enough in this life, and it doesn't usually take too many of them. At some time in our lives, we move through deep suffering and loss. Dreams are dashed. I was going to do this, but it fell through. I was counting on that scholarship, but it didn't come through. I had a promise of a new job, and then they said, no, we hired somebody else. All these different things. You have to learn to cope and endure. Imagine, we've been so blessed, brothers and sisters, and we should not neglect to thank God for this. At this point, 1 year in, we have not lost a single church family member to COVID. We've only had a couple of instances that we are aware of people contracting the disease, and both that I am aware of recovered, one easily and one through a struggle, but they recovered. There are churches where they've lost a dozen, churches smaller than ours, where people have had great loss. And the same holds true really for both the Brazilian congregation and the Latino congregation here in our church. They've been blessed similar. We give thanks to God for that. But you do understand something like 550,000 families in America are not coming out of COVID the same way they went in. Heartbreak. They were living a time of transition and they didn't get the big shiny red bow at the end. They lost somebody they loved. And that's what's happened to Israel right here. They are thinking, things are going well. Things are going well. I can see it. I can see the promised land. And Moses doesn't get to go. Moses dies. This is hard because this is life even for people of faith. You see, Deuteronomy and frankly the Gospels affirm that sacrifice and suffering and waiting on the cusp of a blessing are a part of our reality. And while the while the end, here's the good, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy does suggest this lesson, it's not the ultimate message. If you just read to the end of Deuteronomy, say, oh, well, they didn't get in the promised land and Moses died. If you think that's the point of the book, you have missed it, right? The call is not simply for us to endure difficult times. We are called into something greater. We are called to hope. Much like the triumphal entry of Jesus was a hopeful expression of God's people who were longing for their Messiah. They had no idea what was coming, but they were calling out, Hosanna, Hosanna. Now, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking Hosanna and Hallelujah are the same word. They are not. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. Hosanna means save us. Save us. They are crying out to the one in transition time, oh, I'm hoping that the kingdom of God is coming to my life in a new way. That's what they're hoping for. And in the midst of that, while it would not be the easy, perfect fulfillment of those hopes, right? The hope of Israel was not simply to enter into the promised land. And the hope of God's people is not to have a king sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. The hope is the passage we really focused on last week, where Moses reminded the people of God. He said, it's the Lord who goes with you always. Always. The Lord will be with you and will never fail you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Brothers and sisters, it is a strange kind of boldness that stares down the sacrifice and the suffering and proclaims like a trumpet cry in the darkness, do not be afraid. I am the Lord and I will be with you. In fact, this is the great thing about walking in faith, isn't it? That God promises his presence even in the midst of our pain. Now, let me just confess to you, I learned to say that phrase, that God promises his presence in the midst of our pain. They taught me to say that at preacher school. I had some long, hard lessons to learn with Jesus before I really got the depth of this. You know, I used to sit with families when I was training, right, to be a pastor, and you would say, you know, well, you know, God is here with us. We give thanks for that. And I was a little bit baffled because here's kind of what was going on in my head as a young Christian. I was thinking, well, you know, God, it's great that you are offering your presence, but, you know, that doesn't really solve our problems. Here, I got a better idea. Why don't you wave your magic scepter or whatever you've got, you know, and fix this for these people who are feeling pain. Fix my problems. Fix their problems. Pray to God like he's Santa Claus. Kind of reminds me of the difference in a church when you have a millionaire sitting in the pews who is present, and you have a millionaire sitting in the pews who manifests his or her presence. The difference is one watches what's going on and the other one is that person engages and is making a difference. So do we want, I struggled, I thought, I'm not sure I can just live with a God who is present. I want him to manifest himself in the ways that I think are right. And I place my demands upon God. We want to do like they did at the triumphal entry. Hosanna, save us, do it our way. And that's why Jesus takes a page right out of the book of Deuteronomy and says to his disciples, not, I'm going to make it all go away and make it better. It's not what he says. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The promise of presence. He's not promising that all of our dreams get to come true. He promises his presence with us. And my problem was, and maybe you suffer from this, so I just invite you to think about it, that I when I would think about God, I would contemplate God's presence only in the abstract, that there's this warm, fuzzy out there, okay, but see, that's not what it means to have God presence and God present in our situation. In the struggles of this life, I have sometimes forgotten just how tangible the presence of God can be. And now, sitting on this side of 30 years of pastoral ministry, just a month away, I can't believe how time has flown. And I thought back on those 30 years and how many times I have witnessed the impact of God showing up, God just being present in powerful moments, in hospital rooms where people weren't cured and healed and got up and danced out. But God was present at the altar of prayer in a church where people released the struggles and burdens and gave it to God and walked out of here with their shoulders back and their head higher because they knew they did not walk alone. In a living room where counseling was taking place and just being there to say, I hear you. God is present. You're not alone. At funeral remembrances, we think about how God never leaves us, never forsakes us. And I want to say this to you all. This is one of the blessings. Yes, you might say, well, that's good for you. You get to do that. You're a pastor. It is true. That is one of the blessings of being a pastor. You get granted access into people's lives and in some very holy, sacred moments when children are born, when parents die, when struggles come, when there's pain, when you get, but it's not reserved to pastors. There are many deacons and elders who have amazing ministries. There are many church members who have great ministries. Shirley Terry, who Paul mentioned, had passed away this week. She could barely get out of her house. She would knit caps and scarves for kids in detention centers and in NICUs. And then she didn't need to go and see the joy on their faces. She had to ask one of us to deliver them. But she did it because she knew it would signal the ministry, the love, and the presence of God. People choosing to show up in people's lives sacrificially in moments of pain and crisis, and God uses you to do that. And let's be clear, it does not mean that there is something special about us. It means there is something special about God's presence manifested through us. It's a moment in which almost God's sacrificial suffering is made real. God with us. God has the power to overwhelm despair and darkness and doubt. Emmanuel, God with us, at the heart of the gospel. Jesus came to earth to be with us in the dirt and the mud and the muck and the mire of life, not just in the high and easy moments. And God's promise of his presence with us in Deuteronomy is echoed and fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A journey which takes on significantly greater urgency at the time of the triumphal entry. So much is going to happen over the course of the next week. Because yes, oh, I love a parade. It's a great moment. People are shouting, palm branches in the streets. It's a time of celebration. It's a great parade. But because of the impending necessary sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, we understand there's going to be a lot of pain and suffering and sacrifice in between the triumphal entry and the triumphal resurrection. This is a difficult week ahead. Pain and death and sacrifice are the key words of Holy Week. So I hope you will join with us in our journey to the cross online. I hope you will read the stories from Matthew 21, from other passages, and move on through the story and embrace and understand what God did on our behalf, the way of sacrifice. Because you see, Palm Sunday is truly a triumphal entry of sorts. It's the entryway into a series of divine events so remarkable that they are referred to jointly as Holy Week or as the Passion of the Christ. It's all tied together. It's an entryway. It's a triumphal entry into a story, but it can be a challenge for Christians because we know the end of the story, and too often we want to jump ahead to Easter. We want to jump ahead to the resurrection. We know that's the next Sunday after Palm Sunday, but here's the deal, folks, brothers and sisters. Instead of jumping ahead to an Easter attitude this week and ignoring Holy Week, I want to call on all of us to embrace all of the moments of the Passion of the Christ. To remember that a life that is transformed by Jesus Christ is a life that walks through the way of sacrifice. I know many of you have heard the pathway that Jesus followed. They march it, they call it the Via Dolorosa, right? The way of suffering. But it's really about the sacrifice, because if you're not willing to make the sacrifice, the suffering doesn't come. And that's a lot about following Jesus. A lot of people follow Jesus except on the places where it really calls for sacrifice, because they're not willing to embrace the suffering. That's why observing and remembering and reviewing what all that is about during Holy Week is so important for us. Do not make the mistake of thinking that the resurrection cancels out the life of sacrifice and suffering. Not this week, not any week, not ever. For Christ followers, we live in this world until this life is over and we move on to the life beyond. Jesus himself said, the students are not above the teacher. The disciples are not above the master. What did he mean? He had to choose and walk the way of suffering, so will we, the way of sacrifice, choosing to take on what he opens up for us to do. And you say, well, I don't know. I think, you know, we get together, we celebrate the resurrection every... Well, yes, that should always be a part of what we are doing. We know that Christ lives in us, the Bible says. But I want to point you to what the early church focused on in the life of Jesus. One of the oldest hymns we have that ever came out of the Christian church. You've heard it many times. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. In your relationships with one another, what he means by that is in your life together as the church, in your life together as God's people, okay? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, and the word is clung to, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, watch this, he made himself nothing. That is the way of sacrifice, choosing to lay down your rights and privileges. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, sacrifice. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's interesting to me, you can get to the exaltation part. God exalted him to the highest place. He mentions that once. Twice he mentions the sacrifice. And I don't know, that could be a sign of the ratio. There's a lot of sacrifice that comes before the exaltation. Glory to God results, brothers and sisters, when we live the way of sacrifice, when we live in service to the will of God, sharing the very mind of Christ, who was himself, the Bible says, he said, I am the way. And he showed us that to walk in his way was to choose to be obedient, to choose to make ourselves nothing, to walk in the way of sacrifice. That is God's pathway. So, we close with this. If life in the pandemic has seemed difficult for you, if hope has been somewhat elusive during this painful transition time, I want to invite you to focus your prayers this week as you work through Holy Week to focus on Emmanuel, God with us. Paula made the connection between Christmas and Easter, just being kind of humorous about it. There's a truth to it. The whole thing of Easter, the whole thing of following in the way of sacrifice with God is only possible because of Christmas, not just because it was the birth of Jesus, but because it was the birth of Emmanuel, God with us. And so I close with this question. Has Jesus had a triumphal entry into your life where you have acknowledged him as your king, where you have invited his presence to be with you, not just today, not just when you're in trouble, but all the time as Savior and Master and Lord? Has there been a time where you acknowledged him as your king, where you have recognized his sacrifice on your behalf? All that you have and all that you are and all that you ever will be, have you ever sacrificed, laid that down, put it in his hands? Will you follow this king, Jesus, into the promised land that he has for you? This is the way of sacrifice. Walk ye in it and be blessed.